Is it the post-holiday food hangover that's affecting the trade as traders came back? An interesting type of day with a lot of red on the screen. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jacob Burks joins us with agmarket.net. And we're not talking, you talked about really just being technically an ugly type of trade day today.
Yeah, a little sour trade here today. Susan, we're looking at a day that kind of started out on the highs. We had a little bit of optimism coming through last week's trade where we did see some strength in corn and in soybeans. And just not a day to follow through. We have some resistance levels that we went up, we touched. I guess if I want to try to find something positive about it, it wasn't one of those that just took out major support lines either. So we had a relatively quiet volume day. We did kind of support ourselves on the 20-day moving average here in some of the bean contracts. The corn market went up, tested that 200-day average in the March without any luck of breaking through there, and then sold off throughout the day. It'd be three or four lower here at the close. So not a day that you really hope for, but I don't think it's a day that we're just going to give up on it yet either.
So you look at that, and I mean, outside markets are kind of adding a bit of excitement to the trade with some new highs taking place.
Oh yeah, you had another day where crude oil was a little bit higher. We saw some good strength last week on Friday in that kind of abbreviated trade. But then you get into these metals, and you got some very strong markets here in the silver market. Gold's up again, but the silver to gold ratio is just really, really climbing right now. We are $2 higher at this point here in silver. So just, you know, some money flowing into these metals, kind of the safety zone. And as far as, you know, when you start seeing inflationary scares, you start seeing the commodities be stronger. You know, we just hope to see that the grains kind of collect some of this this inflationary fear money come in into the commodities.
Jacob, is there some hopes that we really start to see some concrete information about China and their purchases? I know we saw a bit of sorghum happening, but many wondering more consistency.
Susan, there's always hope, right? And I'm afraid that that's what this market has built on, is a lot of that hope. I wish I was in these meetings. I wish I really understood what was going on behind the scenes. I think that we are looking at a promise that still gives us a lot of hope. We got a month left, right, to collect, you know, the next 70% of the promised grain sales, bean sales in this calendar year. I think that that's something that we obviously, you know, will be very satisfied if we get. I think that in the next export sales number next week, we should start seeing those first few sales come in. So don't be surprised when you see a little bit stronger export sales number coming. The concrete number is going to have to come in these flash sales. We're going to have to start seeing some pretty big chunks that the committed bushels of soybeans going to China. And if we don't see that, I have a fear that we start backing away from that. Hey, are we ever going to get it? So honestly, the concrete information needs to be positive too. If we start seeing concrete information that it's not going to happen, that could be very detrimental to our process.
And is there concerns? I mean, we see these two presidents kind of getting along per se, but is it more just a front at this point, or is there some concrete hopes that, you know, their relationship will allow for not a lot of struggles, I guess, when it comes to shipments?
Well, I promise you, you're not going to get me to speak on any type of policy or political information. But it is good. It's a quality thing. It's a good thing whenever we see the world's largest customer of soybeans and us getting along. Because if we're not getting along, you can pretty much guarantee that nothing's going to happen positively for our exports. Is it a front? I guess we'll find out in the end. But that all boils back to getting that concrete information too. When we start getting some solid information, and we got to see action. I mean, we've seen trade deals come and go. We've seen a lot of promises that have not really materialized. And I think it's going to have to come in those actual numbers when we see, hey, this is hitting a ship and it's headed that direction.
Well, thanks for your thoughts on that, because I saw a couple different comments about it. So I appreciate you sharing that. Let's look at the livestock side. Cattle market, a quiet trade day, which is okay considering the crazy roller coaster we were on last week.
You have to kind of get the Pepto-Bismol close whenever you start looking, if you're trading cattle and you got some positions in here, because it can be very, very scary at times. I mean, you're seeing moves that are extremely large. I mean, you're talking about a $9.25 feeder cattle limit. I mean, that's huge numbers. And then you start looking at the live cattle and what they can move. So today, only having a $2, $3 range here for most of the trading session was kind of comforting. I mean, even when you look at it, you still saw a $5 to $6 range in feeder cattle. So there's just a lot of volatility in this marketplace. I've had the question a lot today. Hey, is this over? Are we bouncing? Is this a solid move? And it's really hard to get overly excited about a bottoming formation. I mean, it feels like it. It looks like it. We had a very unique trade where we didn't trade a single drop on some of these feeder cattle contracts other than the limit down move. The very following session, we spiked down and we've been up every day since then, except today it looks like we're going to close about a buck or a buck and a half lower. So when you're starting to handicap this type of marketplace that can trade very thinly and very volatile, it's really, really hard. I think we have to step back and take a look at what's out there from a fundamental perspective whenever you're looking at the industry and how to hedge this, how to trade this. Because if you get caught up in these day-to-day moves in this cattle market, in this feeder cattle market, it will drive you absolutely crazy.
Do you think we're going to see some more cautious feel, though, coming from the feeders this week as they kind of try to absorb what the next step is going to be?
I think that, well, first of all, we have, looking at the first trading day of the week here after the holidays, shortened week, you saw a little bit more solid trade, meaning it wasn't bouncing around as much. It wasn't whipsawing back and forth. Do we get a little bit more solid? I think that the cash markets will start to kind of set the tone a little bit as we take a look and look at what the feeder cattle index has done. The futures are still above the index slightly. You're starting to hear some reports of not as negative news across the countryside. You're starting to, the cash market and the live trade. I haven't seen any reports today of any cash that traded. I think that's going to really tell that tale as far as that December contract and where we're going to be. Looking at is the North going to still continue to supply the South? That's not even getting into the fact that when we start seeing shutdowns and when we start seeing scaled back. From the Nebraska plant that's going to be shutting down. I think the focus will probably start going into this cash market and letting it tell the story.
All right. Thanks so much. Jacob Burks joins us today with AgMarket.net. A quick reminder to you that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Monday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.